Welcome to the April 11th, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is from the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Inspired. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship. We are so excited that you have decided to join us this morning. As we get started, there are a few announcements we'd like to make. First off, we'll get you started. We'd like to find out who is in worship this morning. We ask members and guests if you could take, there are pew pads on the inside out of every pew. We invite members and guests alike to take these pew pads, write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, send it so everybody on your pew gets a chance to write their name down. We do ask that once it gets to the end of the row, if you could send it back to where it got started, that'd be helpful for us. Once it gets back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used this morning, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Real quick, our ushers found some keys. If you're missing keys to, we think, a PT Cruiser on a Mercedes-Benz keychain, it's just so you know. I'm not holding it. TJ, it's not yours. I'm holding it ransom, and it's not yours, Marcus's. All right. So anybody's up, oh, I'll bring it. Oh, come here, Bill. Oh. Bill, do not charge for that. All right. Bill, try to make money off the lost keys. All right. A few other announcements we'll make as we get started. Today is our time for our children's celebration. This is when our children leave the service and go to Smith Hall. We are going to make a slight change to that. We're going to leave during the first hymn this morning. So, kids, we're going to go during the first hymn to children's celebration. Just make that note. Our youth are headed to New York City this summer on a mission trip. We have been making plans for a while now for this trip. And it's getting very close to the summer, and so we've got several things that are happening. One of those is a mission team meeting. This meeting will take place during the regular youth time. We're inviting all the parents of those who are going to New York City to come at 6:45 in Smith Hall. We'll have a meeting together while the youth are in their small groups, and then the youth that are going will join us at the end of that time. So parents, at 6:45 for a New York City team meeting, we should be done around 7:30. So please make note of that. With New York City, we are having, we always do pretty major fundraisers to help us earn our way to trips like this. We did this to the Bahamas when the youth went 2 years ago, and when we went to New York City 4 years ago. We are doing another fundraiser in 3 weeks. We're having a barbecue sale on May the 2nd. It'll go along with our annual Spring Fling event where we bring the inflatable games and all the fun stuff for the kids and the families. The youth will be doing, and their families, their parents, they will be working together on a barbecue supper that night. It's usually been a huge success for us, and we want you to begin inviting your neighbors and your friends. The youth already have their tickets. They will start selling these on Wednesdays and Sunday nights very soon. Tell your neighbors. It's great food. Isn't it, Andrew? Amen, brother. Our cooks have already been preparing, and it's going to be a great day together, May the 2nd. So please make a note of that date. Beth, come on.
The babies are coming, and it is not my fault this time, but I need your help. Not me. I've done my share for College Park. We have several babies being born this month or last month, and we have several new people who have been coming. So we are separating our infant and our toddler classes, and I need your help. If you are willing to come and hold a baby Or even if you don't want to hold a baby, you want to play with an older preschooler, I'll work you in the schedule. If you can do one Sunday, two Sundays, several Sundays, even just from now until August, because August starts our new year, please come see me. Okay, thank you.
That's a great problem for us to have. It is exciting to see all the babies that are being born, and it's going to be fun. So any help that you can provide for our nursery, that would be much appreciated. Let's see. Other announcements are listed there inside your bulletin under upcoming events and then opportunities for the week, several things that are happening in the life of our church we want you to take note of. So I think that's all the announcements. We want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. A few moments ago, you gave us your information on the pew pad, and we appreciate you doing that. We appreciate the information that you gave to us. We'd like to give something back to you. So if you're a guest this morning, we have ushers that have come down the aisles. We'd like for you just to raise your hand where you are as they come back down the aisles now. And inside this packet of information, you'll find a letter from our pastor as well as a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we are so blessed by your presence this morning, and we ask that we pray that God would speak to you in a mighty way here at College Park. Okay, I think any other announcements? Did we cover them? I think we covered them. It is time for us to worship. It is time for us to come into the presence of God. He has something he wants to do in us and through us today. And he has done so much for us that we should take the time to tell him how much we are thankful. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, we recognize this morning that when we come to worship, we come to sacrifice our praise. We come to give to you instead of giving to ourselves. For you are the one who gives our life meaning and purpose. And only when you are here can we worship. Only when you are in this place can we sing your praises. So come into this place, we pray. Let everything that's done in this sanctuary be done to glorify you. Remove distractions that would keep us from focusing on you. Remove everything and replace it with yourself. Because you are why we're here. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Last week we read about and celebrated the empty tomb. That Jesus rose from the dead. We read in Scripture that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to his disciples. We read that Jesus was then ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of God where he is. Our scripture today comes from Acts, in the fourth chapter of Acts. After Jesus' ascension, the disciples were left to carry out what Jesus had commanded them to do, which was to go out in his name and proclaim the gospel to others. That's what we read about in the book of Acts. And we're looking here at Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. I'll be reading from the New International Version. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible close to you. This is Acts 4, beginning in verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
More than just a heavy tree. We're going in just a little bit different order today because the sermon kind of fits in this part of the service. And also so that when we run past noon today at lunch, I can say, can you believe that anthem lasted so long? I wouldn't dare do that. We joke with the choir. But last week we did celebrate a wonderful day. Easter Sunday morning, there's probably nothing else like it in the church year. Fabulous opportunity to worship together. It was very inspiring. We had been waiting for 40 days ever since we gathered together to begin the season of Lent on Ash Wednesday. We had been waiting for Easter Sunday morning. There was a sense of expectation and excitement about it. A lot of activity, all the children that were here. It's great to celebrate around the good news that Jesus arose, and it evokes within us feelings of deep gratitude, feelings of praise and thanksgiving, and it reminds us that we love to be inspired. We need to be inspired, and And it led to a kind of a question in my own mind. What does it mean exactly to be inspired? How do we define that? Now, in our culture, we look at it several different ways. I remember in high school that they had pep rallies every Friday because you had a ball game that night, right? And they did it on some basketball games. And the idea was you kind of work everybody up into a frenzy, and hopefully some of that will be transferred to the players, and they'll at least want to do better, whether they actually pull it off or not. The idea is that they want to do better, that they are inspired to play better. You know, orators, brilliant orators inspire me. I like to listen to someone who speaks well and holds your attention, and sorry you don't have the benefit of that, but it really, I enjoy that. That is something that really inspires me. Festival parades, fireworks, creativity, humor, beauty, inspiration, music, imagination, dreams, all of those things are inspirational to us. And there's also an image of inspiration that we're going to read from God's Word this morning. John chapter 20 is an account that probably all of us at some point have heard read, but I want to read it kind of as a unit as we start in verse 19 and we'll read down to verse 31. We will begin, if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one close to you in the pew there. You can follow along. I'll be reading from the same translation of the pew Bibles there. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May God bless the reading and understanding of his word. It's a neat story. It's a story actually filled with a lot of drama because the disciples are there. They're scared to death. Think about it. Think about all that has happened. Think about the culture, the political environment, the religious political environment they lived in. They were scared to death. The scripture says they had gathered together probably to comfort one another, probably to gain support from being together. But it says they were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of what was going to happen next. And as they're there, Jesus appears to them. And the first thing he says is peace. What a great word. What a timely message for these guys that are scared out of their gourd. They don't know what to do. And just by him appearing to them, we know that they were relieved. They were re-energized. They were rejoicing. And then in John's gospel, it's recorded here in verse 22, it says, he breathed on them. He breathed on them. The message translation by John Peterson says that Jesus took a deep breath and breathed into them. That's a sense of intimacy, a sense of transferring of power. He inspired them by being there and breathing on them. You see, when God created the first person, if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And like the prophet coming into the valley of the dry bones who said, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. Like that, Jesus came into the midst of disillusioned, scared disciples and he breathed new life into them. If we were in the mountains this morning, I would say Jesus respired into the expired and they were inspired. And I'd have three good points and I'd work it for all it was worth. And truth be known, that's a pretty good thesis. It's a pretty good thesis. Because to be inspired is to receive breath. It's to receive life. In the language of the Bible, breath and spirit are the same word, pneuma. Pneuma. Breath. Spirit. And to be enthused in the same language is literally to be in God. So inspiration and God are inextricably linked. And so when the risen Christ came near to his friends, his new life gave them new life. He was close to them. He was there and they felt his breath and they knew that he was truly alive. This was not a mirage. He was truly alive. And scripture tells us, basically, I'm giving you a new spirit. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, and this is what my spirit is going to do through you. Pay attention. Now, if you back up in scripture, the Bible contains several passages of things where God tells us what we need to do, right? We know these by kind of catchphrases. The first catchphrase, if you will, is the Great Commission. You know, in Matthew's gospel, he gives that to us. He says, go therefore and make disciples. Or as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. That's the Great Commission. The Great Commandment, we learned a couple weeks ago in our Monday Thursday service. From John's gospel in John 13, verse 34, he says, I give you a new commandment. That you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also love one another. So we have the Great Commission. We have the Great Commandment. This morning, I'm not certain if the words that we're hearing should be called the Great Gift or the Great Burden. You know, a lot of that depends on your willingness to receive it and to act upon it. But it comes in verse 23. Jesus says, giving my Holy Spirit to you, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And you go, say what? What does that mean exactly? Does that mean that I basically become God and I get to forgive people's sins? Is that what he's saying? If you read commentaries on this, man, they're all over the board. But in general, there's a sense of agreement among scholars that what he's saying, what Jesus is saying here, he's preparing the saints for the work of the church, for the work of the body. And so therefore, sin, as he's saying, forgiveness of sins, is not so much an individual act of penance for something that's done, a transgression. It's more like it's a theological category in the sense that instead of forgiveness of sin being an individual act, what he's talking about is that the community, the Spirit-filled community, which is us, our mission that is Spirit-empowered is to continue Jesus' work of making God known through the world. And as we do that, as we tell people of God's forgiveness, then, in effect, we are agents of change. We are sending the message of forgiveness. Now, does this interpretation lessen our impact or our responsibility? No. Actually, it kind of increases it. Because, people of God, this is our inspiration for today. God's forgiveness of sin is mediated through you. Through me. You have the power to announce the gift of God's forgiveness. We have the responsibility to tell other people about God's grace and His forgiveness. And failure to do so, get this, failure to do so could determine another person's eternal destiny. So it's an awesome privilege. It's an awesome joy. But it's also an awesome responsibility that we share together. So if you ever thought you didn't mean anything, or your life wasn't meaningful, or you didn't have any purpose in life, consider this. What really went on in that room 2,000 years ago is Jesus bestows on His followers the full grace of His risen and glorified life. He passes that on to them. He gives them peace, true peace, the kind of peace that gives you inner security and fearlessness. This peace was given them as a sign of new life in Christ. He also gave them a mission. Verse 21, He says, take up my work. Take up my work. And to equip you for doing that, He gave them the power, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is His life. And it's His gift to give. And it's His gift that He gives to us so that we can carry out His mission, telling of God and the gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. It's an awesome privilege. It really is. So, in doing all of this, Jesus, in effect, brings into being the church. He equips us. He challenges us. As a body, He says, this is what you're going to be doing. He gave His unity to this group. He gave its commission to this group. He gave the endowment of the Holy Spirit. And all of this Jesus has won, He now gives to His disciples. So don't minimize the task. Don't minimize the task that's before us. Don't apologize. Because as followers of Jesus in today's world, understand this. We're not sent, like John the Baptist, to call everyone to repentance so then we can announce their forgiveness. That's not what we're called to. We are not the angry prophets proclaiming damnation to all who fail to repent. That's not what we're being called to. We are not the agents of gloom and doom predicting the wrath to come. That's not what we've been called to do. Nor are we the judges who declare the guilt or the innocence of the crowd. That's not what we're called to do. We have been commissioned to speak of a forgiving God. Because understand, it is only for those who trust that forgiveness is real. Only those that trust that forgiveness is real will have the courage to repent. Does that make sense? Why repent if forgiveness is a sham? Our message is of a forgiving, loving God. And if we're faithful to that and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, the Holy Spirit will do the work. It's not our work to do. It's the Holy Spirit's work for conviction of sin. We're just faithful to proclaim the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. You know, we've heard since we've been in church, you know, we hear all the time of God's love. God is love, for God so loved the world. We know that. We know that His love endures forever. We know that He desires for all to be saved and to come to an awareness of truth. We know of a God who is slow to anger and is abounding in mercy. But understand this. We are to speak a word of grace to a world that only knows the vocabulary of earning and deserving. That's what makes the world go around now. The world is plugged into earning and deserving. And we have to get the message out that there is not one single thing that we can do that would cause God to love us more. There's not one single thing that we can do that would cause God to love us less. It is God's nature to be merciful, gracious, forgiving. And we've been entrusted with declaring the message to a waiting world. And failure to do so is just simply not an option. Last week, the empty tomb was inspirational. There's no other way to say it. The empty tomb was inspirational. Today, it's the risen Christ, who's not only alive, but he's bursting with gifts, bringing peace, the Holy Spirit and the authority to announce God's forgiveness. May you feel His breath in you today and be inspired anew. Amen. Would you stand and sing with me?
Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for your Son who died upon the cross to save us from our sins. Let us be mindful that it is our commission to seek those who are not saved and to help bring them to an understanding of the love of God through Jesus Christ. Give us the knowledge and faith that when we are sent in your name, we will not fail, and that you will guide us in sharing your message of love. Make us examples of the transformation that takes place in the hearts and lives when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Help us to be among the blessed who have not seen and yet have believed. We are grateful for this opportunity to give God back a portion of the financial blessings that we have received. Let these gifts be used to further glorify your name. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
those words, "My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me." The gospel message is actually quite simple. And that's it in a nutshell. And then the next phrase is, "But he was also raised. He conquered death. He died for us. He was raised for us. He walks with us." That's the good news that we get to proclaim. But we have to be willing to proclaim it. The power is there. The Holy Spirit has been sent so that we have the power. We just have to be obedient. It's a big challenge. I understand that. It's a challenge that we should take to heart and take it very personal, because the death he died was very personal. The victory he won over death was very personal. And so we enjoy that. Now it's time to tell that. This morning I want to give you an opportunity, if you're not a believer, if you don't know what it means to have that kind of relationship with the God who loves you so much, he sent his son. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to share you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you'd rather not speak to me this morning, I'd be glad to speak with you anytime this week. Just give me a call. If you're here this morning and you would like to make that public, I'd be glad to talk with you, and we have the joy of announcing that together. If you're here and you say, "Raymond, I am a believer, but I haven't been faithful. I'm not in a position where I feel comfortable telling people about Jesus," please pray for me. I'd be glad to do that. You can certainly talk with God there in prayer at the pew, or you can come here to the front and be glad to talk with you. If you just want to have time quietly to pray, that's fine as well. If you're here and you're a believer and you want to be a member of this church, there are a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to do a little time with God this morning. As we're singing together, speak with him, talk with him, and listen to him as he tells you what he wants for your life today and the weeks to come. Would you stand and sing with me now? pray with me? Gracious Father, as we go, help us to go as people of peace, people with a beautiful message to proclaim. We pray that we would walk by the power of the Holy Spirit and speak in your name. For it's in your name that we ask these things. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.